And so we have on the line with us right now, Justin Pichet. Thank you, Justin, for being on this special edition for Prisoners Justice Day today with us at CKUT.
Hey, no problem. Still working on the PhD, though.
Oh, you're still working on the PhD. Well, I do know that you do have a prof job coming up at Memorial University in Newfoundland, so we congratulate you for that. Now, thanks. To start off our show here, the Harper government is in the process of establishing 10,000 new prisoner beds. Okay, now we hear that that's going to be costing like around $3.6 billion, I guess, in construction costs and everything. Maybe you could elaborate a little bit more on that and also speak about the human terms, like the human cost.
Right. Okay. Well, at the provincial territorial level, where typically we find people who are awaiting trial and sentencing and are on remand or who are serving sentences of 2 years minus a day, we're seeing right now the construction of 22 new prisons across the country. 16 additions to existing facilities that will add over 7,300 new prisoner beds. And the cost of building these facilities is around $3.385 billion. And that's plus other operational and management costs associated with incarcerating prisoners provincially and territorially, which is on average $59,000 per year if we're going to use 2009 numbers. Now, most of those facilities are being erected in response to longstanding overcrowding issues on remand. Most of the provinces and territories haven't even yet begun to deal with the influx of new prisoners that are resulting and will result in the future from the current punishment agenda that's being put forward by the Conservatives. Now, at the federal level, the Correctional Service of Canada is establishing the equivalent of 34 new units located on the grounds of existing facilities that will add over 2,500 new prisoner beds at a construction cost of $601 million. And, of course, billions more in terms of how much it's going to cost to operate and manage these 2,500 new prisoner beds once they're likely filled. Now, it costs on average $118,000 per year to incarcerate someone in a federal penitentiary. Now, the Correctional Service of Canada is also in the process of putting together a long-term accommodation strategy that Public Safety Minister Vic Tave said was going to be on his desk in March 2011. This is for the construction of multi-level penitentiaries. We have not heard whether or not he's received that plan, and we don't know the details associated with it. And that's in response to a review panel that was tabled in 2007. So it's been in the works for a while, and Canadians haven't seen anything associated with that plan that will likely cost billions more if it's implemented. So in terms of a fiscal impact, you know, in the context of, you know, two decades worth of police reported, quote unquote, crime rates declining, the violence level also declining and victimization rates being stable. And also we have this massive economic crisis that we're likely to see a double dip recession with the U.S. With their debt problems in Europe as well. We're going ahead and allocating our precious public resources towards building these facilities, which will have an impact on all of us when it gets down to it. When we're spending money on prisons, we're not spending money on schools. We're not spending money on hospitals. We're not spending money on mental health services in the community and so on. So as different people fall through the cracks of smaller social safety nets that are shrinking because we're spending money elsewhere on military corrections and the like, and you know, reducing that social infrastructure, we're going to see more people slipping through the cracks. And maybe this is what we're seeing. We're seeing a government that's preparing to use the prison as a panacea for a bunch of social issues and challenges that we face in our communities.
Yeah. Could you speak? You mentioned just earlier the punishment agenda and how there's been changes like new legislation and everything in this punishment agenda.
Right.
Could you kind of explain some of these changes that bring forth this increase of prison population?
Right. So in the last, I actually just saw an interview with Howard Sapers on Power and Politics on CBC, and he mentioned that in the last year or so, we've seen an increase of 1,000 prisoners in the federal penitentiary system. Now, this is largely resulting from pieces of legislation that have been put forward by the conservative government while they were in minority. So often, opposition parties would sometimes cooperate with the government to pass certain things. So for one, we have the Truth in Sentencing Act that was passed in 2009. That eliminated credit for time served in remand before trial and sentencing for prisoners. So that's creating a capacity or a prison population increase. We're also seeing a series of mandatory minimums, some of which were passed, others which are going to be placed in an omnibus bill in the fall. That's creating a whole series of longer sentences for different types of offenses. And we're also seeing, something I think is often overlooked in analyses on the federal penitentiary system, and I'm just as much at fault for this as any other analyst, is that we've seen a bunch of appointments to the judiciary, to parole. Howard Sapers again mentioned today that we're seeing less people being released on parole than before, and this is a function of the people that the conservatives have put in place that are making decisions about parole. So we're seeing all these kind of different pressures being put on the federal penitentiary system, now we're seeing some serious overcrowding issues, increases in the amount of double bunking, which is putting two people in a cell originally designed for one person. That rate is up from 10% this time last year to 13%. So it's also scheduled to rise up to 30%, according to some figures that have been released by the Correctional Service of Canada and the Office of the Correctional Investigator. So we're seeing some serious things happen inside prisons right now.
Mm-hmm. Last year, it was almost a year ago, Howard Sapers, the correctional investigator who you've mentioned earlier, he came out with a report critiquing how the prisoners in the federal system are treated and everything. But as usual, these reports come out and there's nothing really, as far as my knowledge is, that nothing does get changed, because in these reports are just recommendations. There's nothing actually legally binding for the Correctional Service of Canada to make changes. In your opinion, how can the conditions in which prisoners are subjected to change, since the prison system itself is reluctant to do so, and also the government is actually promoting an increase in all effects?
Right. I think, particularly at this point, we have a majority government, so we don't have we do have opposition parties who are there that may mention things about prison conditions. I know the NDP has been fairly active in the past as well. Former Liberal public safety critic Mark Holland used to be quite active at pointing out these issues. In terms of actually doing something about it, I think folks really need to start talking about this and talking about whether or not we want to treat our fellow human beings like this, and try and generate some public opposition, a change in public opinion to change these things. Because until the voters tell the politicians that this is not the way we want to do things, we don't want to send this many people to prisons, we don't want to treat people who are incarcerated in this manner, we're going to keep seeing this. So until there's a shift in public opinion, which I think can be achieved if the word gets out enough and people take the time to have those necessary conversations. Might be a long road, but I think it's a necessary road that we have to take.
Yeah, it is a necessary road. And it's just like here, the Avalanche show today has been so kind to host Prisoners Justice Day here. And one of its members, one of their members here, Kevin, has a question for you, Justin. So I'm going to let him ask you that.
Thanks, Steve.
Sure.
Hi, Justin.
Hi there.
There are many people who have different challenges and who end up in the prison system. Challenges like learning disabilities, fetal alcohol syndrome, physical disabilities. Has the Harper government, with its big spending on prison, put any monies aside for the incarcerated individuals?
Well, just so that we're clear from the outset. Generally, the Correctional Service of Canada, no matter which government has been in power, has generally spent very little on programming. The Office of the Correctional Investigator has noted that they spend under 5% of their budget, and that's that's a long-standing thing. In terms of things that have been put in place since the Conservatives have come to power, we all know the case of Ashley Smith and the different mental health issues that particular case and her death triggered in terms of media response and coverage. The government, as a result of that, put millions of dollars into mental health treatment. But when you're looking at the fact that they're spending billions of dollars on building new prisons and the operational management costs associated with that, and they're also at the same time spending significant less amounts of money on mental health, I don't think they're taking that particular issue seriously. And if we did take it seriously as a society, it wouldn't be putting programs in prisons for mental health anyways. That would represent a serious solution. A serious solution would be to say, how come people with mental illnesses have to wait until they get into prison to receive services of any kind? We should be putting those monies in the community. We should be diverting those individuals out into the community where they can get support. And, of course, that means we have to develop community capacity as well to do that. In terms of physical disabilities, in 2006, the Correctional Service of Canada performed an audit on the needs of prisoners with physical disabilities. And they, this is a government report. We'll take it for what it's worth. But there's a number of cells that CSC says that has made available in terms of wheelchair accessibility. At the same time, they've noted themselves, and I quote, that less attention has been paid to ensuring other areas in the facilities are accessible. So that raises a whole lot of issues. In terms of things like fetal alcohol syndrome, if you go to their programming page, you'll see that there's not a specific program for fetal alcohol syndrome. It's lumped in with other forms of mental illnesses and the like, and it kind of shows you what type of programming commitments the so-called Correctional Service of Canada has when it spends less than 5% of their $3 billion budget on programs. The rest of it goes towards the provision of security, bricks and mortar, and that kind of thing. That's where we're seeing most of the increases.
Yeah, nothing.
And also hiring more staff. Of course, they've gone from having 14,663 staff the last year the Liberals were in office, 2005-2006. This year, they're projected to have over 20,000 staff. So the good news for everyone out there that's losing their jobs in the federal government is there is still a federal government department that is hiring. You'll just have to work in the prison to get your public sector job.
Yeah, that's a very sad reality for the Canadian society. We're coming to the end of the show here, Justin, and I just was wondering if you had any last thoughts since this is Prisoners Justice Day, just in 30 seconds or less.
I guess we should maybe just take the time to reflect on the deaths in custody that have happened in the last year and think about how this agenda is basically contributing to that violence. Again, the correctional investigator says that violence is up in pretty much every different category that they measure. So, you know, if we want change, it's going to have to come from the ground up, because it's not coming from the top down.
Definitely. We'll keep that in check there. Thank you very much for joining us today, Justin Pichet, PhD candidate in sociology, soon to be a PhD holder, I'm sure. And thank you so much for being on this special for Prisoners Justice Day today, Justin.
All right. Take care.
Bye.